is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome in to the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM on a Tuesday alongside Michael Lombardi out on the East Coast in Jersey. I'm Stormy Bonantoni holding it down at Circa Resort and Casino, our VSiN studio here in Las Vegas. And Michael, on a day that we are coming off of game two of the Stanley Cup final, the NBA finals in full swing, and the start of mandatory minicamp for nine NFL teams, given that this is an NFL show, I did not anticipate opening up with golf, but wow, what a bombshell that was dropped on the sports world.
What we were going to talk about as it relates to golf. We know the U.S. Open's in, what, 10 days away, 11 days away in Los Angeles Country Club, but, you know, this is, to me, a shocker. I mean, this is, I feel bad for Jack Nicklaus, who was just talking about how, you know, unsavory the LIV Tour is, and he's out there promoting the PGA, and all of a sudden today, all those guys that were defending the PGA are not even left at the altar. They're left scattered around.
Yeah, anybody who missed it, the big news over the last hour and a half or so is that the PGA Tour, LIV Golf, and the DP World Tour have merged to, quote, unify the game of golf, as it was announced earlier today. And this is something that what's made it even more interesting, Michael, not only that these two sides who have been extremely adversarial over the last 2 years, this does end the litigation, by the way, between the two parties, but that the players who, like, weren't even notified prior. Like, you see tweets from Colin Morikawa and a variety of players out there on the tour that are saying, wow, incredible to learn about something this massive over Twitter. Like, it's not even something that they knew about beforehand. They're just as shocked as the rest of the world.
You know, I mean, I think to me that's what's the scary part, right? Is, you know, and no one even knew they were negotiating. No one even knew this was happening behind the scenes. And no, I mean, based on the rhetoric that we had heard prior to this announcement, there has been a constant battle between the two, and they've been, well, the LIV Tour doesn't do it as much, but the PGA's been throwing salvos at them. Who knew we were in peace negotiations? I mean, usually there's a ceasefire before a peace negotiation, correct? Like, this didn't even happen.
Jay Monahan, commissioner of the PGA Tour, sent out a letter to all of the tour members a little bit ago, and, you know, talking about it's a momentous day for the PGA Tour. It's something, that's for sure. And it, of course, this does involve the Saudi Arabia Public Investment Fund being part of it. So now a tour and a league that has said day in and day out that, you know, it was all about tradition and legacy and not taking the blood money now as a part of that. And these players, and I'll be interested, we have the one and only Wes Reynolds, of course, part of our VSiN Long Shots crew. He's going to join us here in the second block of the show to give us a deeper dive on what all of this means and the reaction to it, because I know he's been locked on PGA Tour television today. But he said that that, like, these players have turned down 8-9-figure opportunities to go over to LIV Golf, and now it's the PGA Tour that's going to be getting that money. It's just it's crazy, crazy to think about.
Yeah, and it's going to be interesting how they decide to what they do. You know, I mean, you know, some players got, Mickelson got $200 million, Dustin Johnson got $120 million. Like, how do they, what's going in the kilt to pay Rory McIlroy, who didn't go, or for other guys, you know? So, I mean, to me, it clearly looks like, you know, this was something that no one saw coming, and they're going to have a lot of explaining to do as we move forward.
Yes, and it seems like from a financial standpoint, obviously the PGA Tour felt a need to be able to be competitive and raise up what these players are earning. And then on the other side, LIV Golf not getting the sponsorships and not getting the TV contracts. And so both sides thinking that it's a win-win, except for the players who are going to be caught in the middle of all of this. We'll see how it all plays out. Like I said, we'll dive a little bit deeper into what this really means when our golf expert, Wes Reynolds, joins the program. For now, Let's get back to where I originally planned to start
lap.
The show.
Let's
the victory
get back
lap.
To your victory lap.
We need the victory
yes.
lap, of course. Not only because the Golden Knights have a dominant 7-2 win in Game 2 to go up 2-0 in the Stanley Cup Final against the Florida Panthers, but also the props we gave out at the end of the show. Michael went 3-for-3 yesterday, so hopefully anybody listening there, though, that last 10 or 15 minutes came through. We did good. But did you get to watch any of the game last night? I know you've been trying for my sake.
I watched I did. I was watching it for your sake, and you know, I was surprised. Sergio Bobchuk. I mean, is that how you say his name? I don't.
Sergei Bobrovsky, but I like the way you said
Bobrovsky.
It,
Bobrovsky. Yeah, I mean, to me, this is probably. I don't know hockey like you do, but disappointing. You know, he's one of the main reasons the Florida Panthers have reached the finals. And, you know, for whatever reason, you know, whether it's traffic in front of the goal, whatever it is, he's just not playing to the level that I think the Panthers expected it. And listening to the post-game comments afterwards and the coaches, you know, it seems like the Panthers still have their confidence. Mm-hmm. But if the goalkeeper, if Sergio doesn't get his game going, it's going to be over quickly.
Well, and Michael, it was interesting, too, because you asked me, what are the keys for Florida to win this game or to really make this series competitive? And I talked about Bobrovsky and Matthew Tkachuk, and Bobrovsky ends up getting pulled 8 minutes into the second period after allowing 4 goals on 13 shots. The 11 goals, by the way, he's allowed the last 3 games. He hadn't given up 11 goals, the 7 prior to that in that stretch combined. But so you have that side of things where Bobrovsky's not playing nearly to the level that he was earlier throughout the postseason. And then Matthew Tkachuk, who now through 2 games in the Stanley Cup Final, has 1 point and 36 penalty minutes. He's been off of the ice more than he's been on it. And he's such a marquee player for what the Florida Panthers are trying to do. He's been, I mean, that hit that he had on Jack Eichel, I know it was clean, but that was, I mean, whew, what a hit that was. Insane. I watched the replay like 20 times. But he then afterwards, it's like he can't get out of his own way. He's just constantly trying to cause problems all over the ice. We saw in game one when Nick Hague was essentially in a chokehold against the glass. He just outward kind of punches him in the face when it's completely unnecessary at that point. So getting himself in trouble where he's not able to be on the ice producing at the level that his team needs him to.
And then he doubles down. You know, listen to his post-game press conference. You know, he's like, oh, we still have confidence. We're going to come. I mean, like, this is a team that I don't think they've been, you know, they've been the, as we've gone through this, they've been the surprise story. And now with the expectations on their shoulders, they haven't really handled it very well. What is the betting? What did the numbers move to after the Knights win last night, Stormy?
So the Knights now all the way up to a $5 favorite, Florida 4-1 dog in the series. As for the game 3 coming up as the series shifts to Sunrise, Florida later on this week, Panthers are a -120 favorite at home in that game. Golden Knights available at even money, I see. Total 6. We've had overs cash in each of these first 2 games, but you would imagine that the market shifted the way that it did for game 3 because if the Florida Panthers are going to win a game here, this is that game that feels like you have to get home ice advantage,
right,
get the crowd into it, and make it 2-1.
Take away your love of the Knights for
a
second. I understand that. But to start the series, the Panthers were the favorite. The value now, and we know these, as you thought, this is going to be a long series. The value now is back on the Panthers to get really a good number to win the series. I know they've got to win 4 of the next 5 to do it, but it does have great value.
Yeah, so it was a virtual pick'em to start the series. The Golden Knights a slight favorite in it, but a lot of people were certainly picking Florida, and now you're getting a significantly better number. And again, it would be hard for me to believe that the Florida Panthers didn't win at least 1 of the next 2 games back on home ice. And we've seen them come back in a series already this postseason, round 1 against the Boston Bruins, who we all know was the best team in all of hockey throughout the course of the regular season, set records for league history with points and number of wins this season. They came back from 3-1 to ultimately win in 7. So it's certainly possible. But again, so much of it's going to come down to Sergei Bobrovsky. For the Golden Knights, the 12 goals total that they have scored in the first two games tied for the most to start a Stanley Cup final in league history. We also, Michael, talked a lot about Jonathan Marchessault yesterday, and prior to the series, gave out maybe that he was a look for Conn Smythe, maybe that he was a look to be the lead goal scorer in this series. Both were around the 7-1 range for him to do those things. And he has been so dynamic. And after not being able to score a goal the first seven games of the series, he scored 12 in the last 12. And he goes from yesterday prior to the game plus 425 in Conn Smythe trophy odds to an odds-on favorite.
Yeah, I mean, with those numbers, it's kind of hard to – and if they win and got off to this incredible start, going up 2-0, winning the first two home games, I mean, certainly that's going to be the case. It would be shocking if, you know, if the Miami Heat, if the Nuggets go down and they win game two, and, you know, the odds for Jokic are going to continue to rise, because if they win this, it's going to be because of Jokic. It's the same thing here in this case.
Yep, and we'll preview – that game three coming up in the NBA Finals tomorrow. Plenty. We've got VSiN's own Will Hill, who's joining the show. We'll get to some NFL with Tank Williams later on in hour two. And Gord Stellick of NHL Network Radio, who will give his feel for how the Stanley Cup Final might play out. I love this tweet from Mitch Moss, host of Follow the Money here on VSiN, to tie it back to football for you, Michael. He said, going back to the early 2000s, what were the chances of a Las Vegas Pro Bowl wide receiver, Davante Adams, getting interviewed sitting on the glass of the Vegas Golden Knights aiming to take a 2-0 series late in the Stanley Cup Finals? It would have been an impossible thought.
Yeah, it really is. And, you know, I mean, look, this is how far we've come. I mean, the Raider players, my son went to game one. I mean, the Raider players are into this team. They really are. A bunch of them went to game one, and now they're back at game two. It's awesome.
Sports town, Las Vegas, taking over.
Who knew?
I know. It's awesome to see, especially for somebody like myself who's homegrown here, born and raised in this city. Never would have believed it growing up here. We've got to take our first time out of the show, but when we come back to the biggest news of the day with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour merging, Wes Reynolds will help us break it down.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here's your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
It's time to download Nevada's premier sports betting app, BetMGM Sports. BetMGM has all your favorite wagering options, along with in-game betting, boosted odds specials, and more. Download the BetMGM app today and stop by any MGM casino on the Strip with your state-issued ID to open up an account and start placing sports bets from anywhere in Nevada. Whatever your sport, whatever your betting style, you're going to love BetMGM's state-of-the-art technology and fan-friendly specials every day of the week. Visit BetMGM for terms and conditions. Must be 21 or older and physically located in Nevada. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem, call 1-800-522-4700. So much to unpack this morning with the big news that the PGA Tour, DP World Tour, and LIV Golf have all announced a merger earlier this morning. So the litigation that's been going on for the last 2 years will come to an end. Alongside Michael Lombardi, Stormy Bonantoni here, and we welcome in VSiN golf expert and host of the Long Shots podcast. They're going to have a live show later on today, beginning at 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern, by the way, as well. Diving into all of this, Wes Reynolds joins the program now. Wes, like I said, a lot to unpack, but let's just start with your initial reaction when this came down a couple hours ago.
Yeah, good morning, Stormy, and thanks for having me on. Our Long Shots program, by the way, the agenda has been completely turned upside down. So Canadian Open all of a sudden is not the main story, of course, this morning. So, yeah, this came, I think, is a surprise and out of nowhere. If it came out of nowhere for the players, which apparently it has, judging by what I'm seeing on social media in terms of the reaction, it certainly came a shock to everybody else. And just to see this happen 1 year, by the way, this is like the 1 year anniversary of the first LIV event that they had over in London, which was the week before the U.S. Open last year. And of course, we are now 1 week before the U.S. Open, which will be at LA Country Club next week. So yeah, this comes as a complete shock that with all this acrimony and all this stuff that has gone on, less than 1 year later, here we are.
So Wes, you know, where are we? Tell me how this is going to work. You know, how a, how do you, and your understanding is, how are these two leagues, which are completely different? You know, it's one thing for the ABA to merge with the NBA. Okay, we'll take the 3-point line. You know, we'll just keep the regular basketballs. But the way they play LIV golf in terms of pairings and teams compared to the PGA in terms of individuality, how's this going to work?
Yeah, Michael, I think a lot of that is still to be determined. I mean, from the business standpoint, obviously, I think if you look at it as an objective observer, the Saudis won. The Saudi government, of course, the PIF, the Public Investment Fund, that's who's behind the creation of the LIV Tour. And now they get involved with the PGA Tour. It gives them a foothold into American sports. And the PGA Tour, I think, clearly is more stable with LIV. They were dumping money into it and not recouping any sponsor money because I think it was so toxic for corporate sponsors. Now you buy into the PGA Tour, you get some return on investment, and you serve your political purposes if you're the Saudi government. But in terms of how the tours are going to be constructed, that I think is still to be determined. But the reaction that obviously that you're seeing from, I think, a lot of the PGA Tour players is kind of like, okay, we stuck our neck out for you. We turned down all the money that we were approached with to join the LIV Tour. You know, if you're Rory McIlroy, Hideki Matsuyama, these guys that got astronomical amounts of money offered to them, and they stuck their neck out and said, we're going to stick with the PGA Tour, I think you probably have to feel at least a little bit like you were stabbed in the back, you know, right on live television here, as Jay Monahan and the man from the Public Investment Fund from Saudi Arabia, they were on television here announcing this merger, which seems to be that the PGA Tour is still going to have operational control, but the Public Investment Fund obviously has financial control, and they determine the financial direction of this game, essentially.
Well, and Wes, obviously this is in a much larger scale, but a reminder for like any and all of us in the world who work for an organization that, like, there's an unfortunate reality that organizations are going to be out for their best interest, right? And they can ask you as an employee all day, every day to remain loyal and to do certain things, but it's about the bottom line for them. And that's what we're seeing here with the PGA Tour. Like, my question is, do they really need to do this? I feel like LIV probably needed them. You look at what they were struggling so hard to get a TV contract. They don't get one. They end up on the CW. But you're in a situation a few weeks ago where you have Dustin Johnson in a playoff and they cut your window off at 6 to play a replay of, like, whose line is it anyway or something like that, because that's what they have to do. So I feel like LIV needed this more than the PGA Tour, but the PGA Tour needed more money.
Yeah, it's a little bit of both, I think, Stormy. I think you nailed it there, because the PGA Tour obviously was going through some antitrust litigation here that may or may not have gone their way. Meanwhile, LIV not getting any sponsor money, I think, was a big thing for them. And now you go to the PGA Tour, which is pretty well sponsored all of their tournaments throughout the schedule. And also with LIV, it gives them a foothold into American sport, because what happens with the Public Investment Fund, and I don't want to go too much into the geopolitics here, but they are trying to get into sport to, obviously, the term is called sports watching. That's the term that's been put out there, where that kind of puts them in a more positive light and masks some of the things that have happened with the Saudi government over the years. So they own 80% of Newcastle United in the English Premier League. They host a Formula One race in Saudi Arabia. They host big combat sports events, WWE events. And now being on the PGA Tour gives them a foothold into American sport. And I don't think that they're necessarily going to stop. Now, look, I don't know what the time frame is going to be on this, but I think this Public Investment Fund, they want to get involved in the Big Four. They want to be involved with the National Football League and the NBA and Major League Baseball and the National Hockey League. And now the PGA Tour being involved with them financially gets them a foothold, at least in America, to start.
Well, I wonder the corporate element ripple effect. I mean, it's one thing, we're not going to touch LIV Golf with the Saudis and the geopolitics, okay? But now that they're merged together, how does that make that even – how does it make it better? How does it make it okay? And I agree. I think there's a huge intent by the Saudi group to buy an NFL team. I mean, and they'll pay any price. And let's be clear here now. when this Washington sale closes at $6.05 billion, there's not many people outside of the Saudis that have $6 billion laying around that they're going to invest. I mean, Josh Harris is to jump through hoops and loans and bring in a bunch of investors to do this. So it is on the horizon.
Yeah, no question about it. I think that this is just kind of the tip of the iceberg of what this is going to be. Now, I think from a fan standpoint, and probably more importantly for our purposes, from a betting standpoint, this is probably a good thing because you get a better product with golf. And when you get a better product in terms of the game, you get a better betting handle. So I think that that in that regard is a good thing, putting aside the politics of that. But I think all the financials and all the ramifications, what is going to happen to this LIV Tour? Now these guys can actually play back on the PGA Tour. So does the LIV Tour essentially get dumped now that the public investment fund is involved with the PGA Tour and also the DP World Tour, and they're merging the commercial operations? So there's a lot to shake out here. And apparently there has been a player meeting called at 4 Eastern up in Toronto, where they're having the RBC Canadian Open. So I wish that would be live streamed on Golf Channel this afternoon, because I would love to see that. It would be like watching a session of British Parliament.
Wes, that's what I've been seeing all over Twitter this morning, is like, how can we get cameras into the players meeting today? We need to know everything that's coming out of it. And just as far as all this goes, it must be nice to have infinitely long pockets. Like, what I would give for these types of dollars. Last minute that we have you, because we do have you and the Canadian Open is coming up this weekend, can you give us just your immediate handicap and any names worth a look maybe for bettors?
Yeah, Stormy. Well, I'm not going to play the favorite, Rory McIlroy, the two-time defending champion, who's about a little less than 5-1, who I'd be like to be a fly on the wall with him hearing about this. I got to think he knew about this a little bit in advance. But I do have Tommy Fleetwood, 22-1. Victor Hovland finally got a win on U.S. soil last week. Tommy Fleetwood has been trying to get that PGA Tour win for many years now. He's won frequently around the world. I played him at 22-1. And then I played a lot of bombs this week, and I'll have the whole card on long shots later on today. So this is an event, I think, with a week before a major, which always makes it a tough handicap, you can play really long shots this week. This is going to be a very odd handicap. So I will have that up at VSiN.com and on long shots later this afternoon.
Wes, thanks so much for jumping on with us with short notice.
Thank you, Wes. Appreciate it. I was going to ask him, Stormy, about the U.S. Open.
We got 10 seconds if you can.
No, that's okay. I know he's got to go, but I can't wait. I've never seen the Open at the Los Angeles Country Club. I'm kind of excited to see it there.
Yeah, no, it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll have to check in with Wes again a little bit closer. But right after our show ends today at 11 Pacific, 2 Eastern, a live version of the Long Shots podcast will air here on VSiN. Get all the lowdown, furthering the live conversation, the Canadian Open and the U.S. Open. We got to step aside, back here in a moment with some NFL headlines on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a smarter sports bettor with a VSiN Pro subscription for just a limited time. Sign up now for $9.99 and get full access to everything we do here at VSiN, including daily pro picks on all the summer action, including NFL and college football futures, premium analysis from our team of top handicappers and industry experts, 24/7 video access, and pro tools like our exclusive betting splits showing you where the public and sharp money is going to give you an edge. Don't miss out on our lowest intro price of the year. VSiN.com/subscribe. That's how you do it. Go sign up today. And you get a lot of the great content from our guy, Wes Reynolds, who just joined us, which, Michael, I just want to give him another shout out real quick. One of the hardest working dudes we have at the network. Today alone, he was on Follow the Money before any of this news came out about LIV, hops on with us on short notice, has the live long shots that's going to be on the show for an hour right after us, and then hosts VSiN tonight later on this evening like he does every Monday through Friday. So he is on one today.
Big one. Yeah, busy time. I mean, who knew? I mean, he had no, and you know, it's hard to, it's hard to ask, it's hard to prepare for it because, we just got hit with it, 2 hours before we came on the air. So there's a lot of things to clear up, but, you know, we'll move forward. I'm sure that there's going to be a lot of reactions. This isn't just a sports story. This is a big story. This is something that is going to penetrate through most every editorial commentary that we have in this country.
Well, and further proving that point, the fact that I first saw the news released in a clip from CNBC. So that's where it kind of came out publicly. So we'll continue to get some opinions throughout the day. If you miss any of that conversation, make sure that you can download the Lombardi Line in podcast form as well. Get all of Wes's thoughts and the breakdown of the merger with LIV Golf and the PGA Tour. But let's get to the NFL. It only took us, 32 minutes, but we are on the NFL now on our NFL show, Michael. 9 teams are kicking off mandatory mini camps today. The Raiders, 49ers, Seahawks, Commanders, Dolphins, Lions, Titans, Browns, and Cowboys. For people that are unfamiliar maybe with this offseason calendar, what does the mark of mandatory mini camp mean in your brain as a former GM?
Well, everybody has to be there. I mean, if you're not there, you can actually find the player. Everything else is voluntary. And so there are some times where you might have the full team at the OTA day. There may be some times where you don't have the full team. You can do more drills in mini camps. You can have 2 practices. You have more time with the players from the start of the day to the end of the day. It's not a 4-hour requirement, which is what the Patriots exceeded and why they got fined and cost 2 days. So it gives you a chance to basically have, it's a start of training camp, if you will. The players are they're not in pads, they're helmets, jerseys, and they have all their things on. And you can do a team period, you can do 9-on-7, you can pretty much do 1-on-1s. And there's no real restrictions in terms of the over physicality of it. You know, you have to be careful, but it's like having a practice without pads on. So that's why it starts, and it's mandatory. Now, some teams like the Raiders will have OTA days afterwards to continue that, mostly for the young players. I mean, these camps are a lot for the younger players once you get past the mini camp, so they understand the conditioning required to play at their highest level in the NFL.
Well, speaking of conditioning, Michael, this is always like best shape of their life season when we see a lot of the headlines and guys coming in. But I feel like there's going to be a number of players too who are on the flip side of that. Anybody from your memories back in your days in the league of somebody just showing up so out of shape and you're like, come on, man, what are you doing?
Oh, there's way too many. I mean, Grady Jackson, we could never get him in shape. Grady Jackson was, I had almost a, you know, in Austin Powers where, you know, he sees Fat Bastard at the end of the movie who's now skinny, you know, and he couldn't believe it, right? You know, I had that moment. So Grady Jackson was a defensive tackle for the Raiders, and he was extremely talented. He was everything that Al Davis loved in defensive linemen. He was 330 pounds. He could run really well. He had long arms. He had 11.5-inch hands. He had these huge hands, which was you had to have to be a defensive lineman for Al Davis. But he was always out of shape, always out of shape. And I mean, he probably went to more funerals in Jackson, Mississippi than any player on record. I mean, every time I turned around, there was another funeral he had to go back to, another funeral. I mean, he probably spent more time at a funeral parlor in Jackson, Mississippi than he did anywhere else, which was, we all know, was a lie that that's why he wanted to go home. But then At Al Davis's celebration after he passed away in Vegas, there was a party and everybody came together and I saw Grady there and he was skinny. Like, I'm like, Grady, why didn't you get in shape when you could play? You had to play 10 more years. You know, it was that fat bat. Oh my God. You know, and he wasn't on Subway diet. I think he had the procedure, but all the time, Stormy. And as a coach and as executive, you're trying to figure out, okay, here's where you are. And then what you try to do is assign weights to the players. Okay, your reporting weight is X. And if you don't come in at that weight, you're going to get fined percentage per pound. And this is where you determine that. And a lot of teams are very strict about that. You know, they're going to make sure that the players are down. Now, you don't want to do what some guys do, which is, you know, try to sweat it out and then they pull hamstrings. So, you know, that's what this is all about. But conditioning for the big guys is always the big issue.
You know, on my bingo card today, Michael, I did not have leading the show with golf and an Austin Powers fat bastard reference, but get in my belly. I love it, and I'm here for it.
Tommy, I think Grady was, he was happy. He was unhappy when he eats, and he's unhappy when, he's that way,
I eat because I'm unhappy. I'm unhappy because I eat.
And I'm unhappy because I eat. That's right.
Okay.
There you go. Love it.
Let's move it along, though, with some of the news and notes that we do have as we come into these mandatory mini camps. One team getting underway today, the Dallas Cowboys, and their owner, Jerry Jones, speaking to media yesterday, said that while they don't anticipate, called it unlikely that they would bring in a guy like DeAndre Hopkins, there is potential for Ezekiel Elliott maybe to get brought back into the fold. When you heard that, what did you think at first?
Well, I mean, I don't think Zeke has a market. I don't hear Zeke's name out there to too many teams. I think probably because nobody wants to pay for a running back, especially a running back that is an inside-the-tackle runner. And, the Cowboys could certainly use that. It depends on what kind of shape that Zeke's in. I mean, look, I think Zeke's a really good leader on their team, and I think they would benefit from having Zeke in their locker room. But at what cost? Stephen Jones shot down the Hopkins rumors fairly quickly. I see a lot of teams shooting down these rumors quickly. A Buffalo, shot down that rumor really quickly. But when you come out and talk about it, and I think Zeke in this offense, if they're going to run the ball a little bit more with Pollard coming off the injury, depending on how much it's going to cost the Cowboys, but I think his value in that locker room would certainly benefit.
Well, and he was obviously such a special player early in his career. I think the team is very aware that they made a terrible decision making the contract for him that they did. He's still a very valuable piece, but Tony Pollard's going to be your star. And he, if you were to bring him back, just a guy that needs to know what his role is going to be. I think it would make a lot of sense for him to come back.
It's always hard, though, Stormy, for a player of Zeke's stature to come back in the same locker room and take less money.
Yeah.
And every player knows it. And have the same impact on leadership. That's a hard thing to do.
You mentioned a lot of teams also saying that they're kind of out on DeAndre Hopkins or unlikely. Yes, the Cowboys, which makes sense. They just brought in earlier this offseason a veteran wide receiver in Brandon Cooks. But the Jags head coach Doug Peterson said it's not reality to bring someone else in. The Jets, Titans, among other teams, implying that it's not an option. And you mentioned Bills and Brandon Bean. He was on Pat McAfee. He, didn't like fully shut it down. So that's why I'm curious your thoughts on like financially where the Bills sit, especially after signing Leonard Floyd, called him a hell of a talent, said, but it would really have to fit with how they structure salary.
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all been about. They were interested. Look, they were making phone calls about Hopkins. They were engaged in trade conversations with the Cardinals. So were the Chiefs. But, as I've mentioned on my pod and on the show, once Beckham got that $15 million one-year deal, Hopkins doesn't see himself having to take much less than the $19 he was due to make. Mm-hmm. I think the only team that may be willing to pay that kind of money. One thing, here's what I think people don't realize about situations like Hopkins, there's rarely more than one team involved in this number. There's rarely more. No, there are teams interested, but at a very, very low cost. And as a GM, if you're Andrew Berry of the Cleveland Browns, you're saying, who's my competition? Who am I competing against for his services? Why would I have to go to $15 million when no one else is anywhere within $10 million of that? I think there's the holdup. If somebody was willing to pay $15 million, he'd be signed by now.
Yeah. And, the league, how shocked was the league when the Baltimore Ravens elected to pay OBJ what they did, and now this has set an unreasonable and unrealistic expectation, I feel like, for DeAndre Hopkins and what he's trying to go out there and get, because he feels that he's an equitable, if not better, player than Odell. So
yeah, I think it's the only one that's impacted. Everybody else saw it. Oh, the Ravens were desperate to get Lamar. But Hopkins and Odell had always been linked together, especially at Baltimore.
Could not agree with you more. We have to take a break, but when we come back, your favorite, schedule maker, analyst, he does it all, Will Hill, will join the program next, give his plays for the NBA Finals.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Stormy Bonatoni, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, laces up with a playoff parlay insurance offer. Place a same-game parlay of four legs or more and get back a bonus bet up to $25, even if you miss a leg. Enjoy the playoffs like never before with BetMGM's daily promotions, boosted odds specials, and parlay selection features throughout the playoffs. Log in now or sign up and opt in to get back up to $25 in bonus bets if one leg of your same-game parlay falls short. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 and up only, new customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Promotional offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. We will talk a little bit of NHL with Gord Stellick of NHL Network Radio a little bit later on. And we're actually going to lead off, Michael, this segment with our guy Will Hill with some hockey, too. Will Hill, VSiN contributor and betting analyst, joins the program because while we never count our tickets or winnings before they cash, I mean, I don't know what's the chickens before they hatch type of a analogy that we can do here for betting, but you have a 40-1 Jonathan Marchessault for Conn Smythe, my friend. I'm very jealous.
Yeah, I could. I had no idea who the player was 2 weeks ago. Somebody I worked with my other show, Griffey Betts, said it was a good bet. So I tailed him. So all the credit goes to him if it hits. But again, not to count it yet. But you got to be feeling pretty good here. You're up 2-0. They got to beat you 4 out of 5 now to hold up that cup. So you're in good shape here. But let's not jinx anything.
Yeah, I can't complain. I am very excited about it. But still, the anxiety is there, no doubt. But I mean, just I only have a 7-1 Marchie ticket. So I just wanted to say congratulations on your 40-1. And I certainly hope it gets there for you as he is now an odds on favorite for Conn Smythe. Michael, I know you're excited to talk some NBA, though, with our schedule maker and coach and all of the things, Will Hill.
Well, you know, I think, first of all, I mean, that how what was your reaction to the Kyrie Irving rumor that LeBron could be going to Dallas? I mean, you know, it was kind of put out there, and, you know, and LeBron has been known to change teams. It's highly unlikely. It's highly difficult to do. But, you know, as you working side by side with the Lakers, please tell us.
Yeah, I would imagine it's a very quick conversation. The Lakers would say, hey, do you want to trade us Luka Doncic? The Mavericks will say no, and then then we hear a click. That's about all it would come down to. I mean, the packages it would take, a Tim Hardaway Jr. and Reggie Bullock, a couple of bad first-round picks. I mean, that's obviously not going to get it done. So sounds like it was Kyrie floating that out, and it's not going to happen.
Well, let's look toward Game 3 of the NBA Finals that's ongoing here beginning tomorrow. You have a lot of plays coming up in this game. So let's start with the one you feel most confident in. What do you like most from a betting perspective in Game 3?
I will say under 214.5, I think it is now, just for the game, just because I think Miami has a game plan here, and that is to slow the game down, muck it up, keep it close, and try to steal it at the end. You always hear about ball control, time of possession. That's more of a football term, a football strategy, but Miami is playing slow, playing deliberately slow, and when you're not the better team, and Denver is the better team here, when you're the lesser team, I think it's smart to play slow, keep it close, and you know they're in great shape, they're in great condition, so the fourth quarter usually favors them. They steal a lot of these games in the fourth quarter, so we only saw 87 possessions in Game 2. That's a really slow game. It did go over because what else is new? Miami just shot the hell out of the basketball. Game 1, it stayed way under, so I'll look for a slower game here too, and usually the home team controls the pace, dictates the tempo, so I will go under 214.5. I think it's a slower pace game.
Speaking of shooting, you also like Max Strus to lead the series in three-point shots. I mean, you know, he got off to a fast start. Stormy and I talked about maybe betting him for 5 or more, and, you know, he had 4, I think, early in the second quarter and then didn't make another one, finished 4 for 10 for the game. But you like him to have the most three-pointers in the entire series?
I just think at the number, it's worth a shot. I think it's 16-1 right now at DraftKings. I mean, he's got the green light, which is an important thing. He's going to get the volume. Now, I think he's 4 behind Gabe Vincent. But, hey, when you go 0-for-9 and you're still allowed to shoot it 10 times the next game and a bunch in the first quarter, it means you have the green light. And, you know, we saw him in the Knicks series shoot 53-pointers. It's just crazy how many three-pointers all these teams shoot. So I just think it's about the volume. He shot, 19 or 20 here in 2 games. He shoots the ball well at home. So, you know, I just think the volume will be there where he's going to have the attempts, and at 16-1, I think it's worth a shot here.
Well, Spoelstra told him, hey, just keep firing away. Ignite, yep. I believe, was the word he even used too in that postgame press conference after game one. So he listened, and we'll see if he can get there. I mean, that's a really, really good number if he ultimately can. How about a guy like Michael Porter Jr., who did not play his best? Well, we have 2 of 8 from the floor, 1 of 6 from three, just 5 points in game two. Like, how many times are we going to see this guy throw it up from the corner, leaning out of bounds? Like, I'm not really sure what we're doing, but he definitely kept firing away. Do you think that he gets back on track or just kind of plays to the status quo?
Yeah, and his pass button is completely broken. He has no interest in passing the basketball. If he gets it, it's going up. I like under on Porter Jr. I think, I mean, first of all, under on most of these guys is usually a decent bet just because people want to bet overs, root for overs, so it's always a little bit inflated. I would worry about him losing minutes. He only played 5 minutes in the fourth quarter, and he would have played less, but Caldwell Pope fouled out, so he got a couple extra minutes. You could tell Malone was not happy with him, with his defense. I think it was one of the timeouts where he lost somebody on a switch or whatever, and it was either Van Gundy or Jackson said, well, Porter Jr. is about to get screamed at because he just let his guy, you know, roam free wide open. I think it was Love to hit a wide open three. So if you're 3 of 18 from three, which I think he is, and you're not doing anything on defense, your minutes are in jeopardy. And you have Bruce Brown to take his minutes. You have some other guys that can fill in here and just play well defensively. So it's going to be hard, I think, to get to 15 points here if he's losing some minutes.
Yeah, and Braun, you know, the kid from Kansas played really well. I mean, he played 16 minutes in the game, and, you know, he was a really good player. I think he's going to increase his time, too, because, like you said, I think Porter – but one thing about Porter, he kind of – having Porter and Gordon along with Jokic, I mean, it makes Butler have a hard time getting into the lane and finishing because Porter is so long. But you like Butler to go continue on going under his point total.
Yeah, I think this is 5 in a row he's gone under here. I think, you know, you mentioned the length bothering him. Gordon does a good job. Gordon's bigger. Gordon's stronger. That's a tough matchup for Butler because Butler is so reliant on his strength to just get through you, get to the foul line. And we really haven't seen that Butler explosion really since the Milwaukee series where he was just on another level. Remember, he rolled his ankle in game one against the Knicks, and he hasn't shot well. He hasn't scored well. Even the few games where he gets in like the high 20s here, and his number, I think, is 25.5. So that's still a pretty high number. Even when he crosses that threshold, it's on really poor efficiency where it's, you know, 27, 28 shots. It's a lot of 5 of 21s. It's some ugly stat lines. So I think under is a good way to go here. He's gone 5 straight under. So I'm going to go under 25.5 here on Butler. And I want to bet Denver. In my heart, I think Denver's the better team. I am just so sick of betting against Miami and getting burnt. I was shocked when that was a 15-point game the other night. Miami's up double digits, and it swings all the way to 15. Yeah. You're just thinking, all right, this is 2-0. The series is over. They're going to win in 4, maybe in 5. Even then, they're up 8 beginning of the fourth quarter. Before you know it, they're down 2. This Miami team is just so tough, so resilient. The shot-making, I'm done betting against them. I have some serious bets on Denver. I laid the 1.5, but I'm just not adding fuel to the fire. I'm not doing it anymore. I've seen too much. It's enough.
I mean this in the most complimentary way possible, but they're like a cockroach. They just won't die, especially the fourth quarter of some of these games. It's like they enter that game specifically down 8 points, and they still are just able to rally all the way back. As it goes for Jimmy Butler, it's interesting. The scoring production overall hasn't really been there, but it seems like he's made buckets when they need them, and that's kind of what you want from your star player, right? To at least be able to step up when necessary. I understand here, last couple minutes here, Will, that you also have a baseball play for us today. You have your hand in everything.
Under first 5 in Houston, Toronto, 2 really good pitchers. Brown going for Houston, who's been really he's shown a lot of ability. Rough start last time, but he's going to be a really good pitcher. And then Gausman for Toronto. So under 4, there's some 4.5s out there. You got to pay a little extra juice under for the first 5 in Toronto, Houston.
What do you think of the LIV news coming out today? Speaking of you paying attention to everything,
you know, there's been so many changes in sports the last 10 years, whether it's college football realignment, this LIV stuff, adding all these play-ins, adding extra playoff games to the NFL. It's like, you know what? As long as we can bet on the games, I'm okay with it. I just sort of roll with the punches. There's just been so many changes now that you just sort of shrug your shoulders. As long as we have games to watch and games to bet on, I'm okay.
Well, there you go. I mean, you know, I think it's interesting, though. It will be interesting how it affects the U.S. Open in Los Angeles. I think, you know, that's going to dominate the conversation, and I think that's going to really, you know, kind of set the stage for that tournament out there because that's all we're going to talk about.
Well, and even this week, too, for the Canadian Open, Rory McIlroy is the favorite, but how much of a mental tax is this going to put on his head this weekend? Interesting, for sure. Will, You're amazing. Thank you so much for doing this, buddy. Love the face here. Right.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having me. Lombardi, thanks for working a Tuesday. We don't want to overwork you, but thanks.
Yeah. Well, you know, I got to do it. Sometimes you got to do, you know, you got to switch your days around. Summertime, Will, you know.
You know, I forgot to, Michael, I was giving our guy Wes Reynolds all the props earlier for being the hardest working man at the network, but it might be you too. I forgot to remind the people who are used to listening on a Tuesday, we have Michael Lombardi with us today. We don't usually get this luxury.
Well, you know, you got to switch some days around. So, you know, it's summertime and there's things to do. So, you know, it all works out well. And I would have not missed the opportunity to congratulate you on being up 2-0. I would have probably come in anyway if I wasn't off.
I knew I liked you. What a guy. We got to take a break. Hour 2 of the Lombardi Line coming up next.